Are you a worrier? I mean, somebody who lets things just kind of sit there and stew with you. Now, if we're honest with each other, most of us would probably have to say, yes, we are. I know that's not something that we usually like to admit out loud, but yet we are perpetual worriers. So when we sit back and we think about that, one of the things that we want to take a look at is, what does the Bible say about not only worry, but more, how should we handle it when those worry or those anxieties come our way? So today we're going to continue our look in the Faith Under Fire series. We're going to look at the power of prayer in trials. Grab your Bible, turn it over to Philippians chapter 4, and I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. I pray that your day has gone well and God is blessing you greatly. Just a moment ago, I asked you that question about worry, about anxieties and things that happen in your life. And in fact, I know a lot of us don't like to admit that, but that is one of the growing problems. Actually, it's larger than most people know about having anxiety in our lives, what it does to us. It's not something that is healthy, but yet the Bible, once again, gives us a look, not only a look at how we're supposed to react, but it gives us tools in order to be able to take those things. So today, we're gonna focus on the transformative power of prayer. That is your key to this whole situation, especially during life's trials. So as we look at Philippians chapter 4, particularly verses 6 and 7, we're going to discover some profound wisdom as well as encouragement from the Apostle Paul. Now, in these verses, Paul urges us not to be anxious, but through prayer to experience the incomparable peace of God. So let's kind of meditate on how prayer equips us during testing times and how God's peace can saturate our lives amidst this challenge. So look with me if you would. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. And we're just going to deal with two verses today, but verses 6 and 7. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And it says this: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we just ask that your Holy Spirit might be prominently with us. Lord, we pray that your word would truly spring forth life within our hearts, particularly those, Father, who may be going through the complicated times, through the anxieties that that life throws at them. Father, I pray that not only will you help us along the way, but Lord, that we will see the tools that you give us in your word to be able to deal with those times of anxiety. Lord, help us as we come to you. Help us as we carry our request before you to realize that you are God and there is none like you. Lord, I pray as always that you will help me during these times, that the ones that will be hearing today would truly be hearing from you rather than from a mere man. So Lord, may you be high and lifted up during this time, and we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks, so as we consider these particular things, particularly when it comes down to anxiety, we are given some great advice over in the book of Philippians chapter 4, and specifically those verses 6 and 7. Now in verse 6, Paul begins with a tender admonition. All right, what does he say? He says this: "Do not be anxious about anything." Now, a lot of us probably look at that, and if somebody were to say that to us, we would probably laugh, you know, because we live in this fast-paced world. In that fast-paced world, this particular command seems daunting. That's the best way to say it. Do not be anxious. So when all the things are going on in your life, that person, that well-to-do friend in your life comes up to you and says, "Oh, listen, don't worry about it. You know, just, you know, put it in God's hands." Although that is good, and that's what we should do, those are not the words we want to hear. Sometimes we just kind of laugh, you know. But what is it that it says? So let's go back to the word. The word says in Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious," or depending on your translation, "Do not take thought about these things." In other words, do not let it bother you. So do not be anxious about anything, okay? So, you know, Paul is providing a solution. as we go on in this verse. But the solution that Paul provides simply says this: in every situation, not some situations, not the bad, just the bad situations, not just the good situations, but in every situation, and here is what he tells us to do: by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's what he's telling us to do. Every situation. I like to think about the passage of Scripture that tells us to pray without ceasing. That means without stopping. So what does that mean? That means that you're always in an attitude of prayer. That doesn't mean that you're always in a posture of prayer, being where you've got your head bowed, your eyes closed, your hands folded, but are you carrying each and every circumstance and situation in your life to the Lord? As you make that drive into work, are you allowing yourself to spend time in prayer and communication with the Father? Are you thankful for the day that He's given you? Are you thankful for the family that He's given you, the roof over your head, the shoes on your feet? There are so many things that we can take to God. But He says this, He says, in every situation. Now that includes even those situations that seem beyond anything that you and I can handle. Not only does it count for the big things, it also counts for the little things. Maybe a job change, maybe a decision, maybe an investment, whatever it is. But in every situation. Now, if you've been around me very long, or you've been around Central Baptist Church very long, you have heard this. Basically, what that means is in all situations, and all means all, and that's all that all means. Every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You see, prayer becomes our spiritual lifeline. When you think about those things that are making you anxious, and I will guarantee you that there's some listener today that you've got just a lot on your mind. How many times has somebody come up to you and said, "Hey man, you just don't seem like you're okay today." And our comment to them is, "Well, I've got a lot on my mind. There's a whole lot that's taking place. It's consuming who you are." Okay? So what we need to do is understand that according to the Word of God, prayer is what is our spiritual lifeline. It connects us to the divine source of strength and wisdom that comes only from the Father. That's who we're going to. No matter the size of your issue, no matter the complexity of your issue, no matter the complexity of your struggle, God invites us to bring our concerns before Him. Man, what a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. I mean, it's funny because sometimes people get to the point where in life, people will come to you. Maybe you're that person they come to with their problems, and every time you see them come, and you're just like, "Oh no, here we go. I'm just going to hear about everything that's going wrong. I'm going to hear about, you know, what's going wrong in their life, and there's not going to be anything positive to come out of it." See, that is what the Lord is encouraging us to do. He's encouraging us to bring those concerns before Him. So, you know, the first thing that we have to do is understand that He calls us to prayer in the midst of our trials and tribulations and in the midst of our anxieties. The second thing that we want to look at in our passage today is the nature of prayer. You know, it says presenting petitions with thanksgiving. Man, so how many times do we carry things to the Lord, but yet we're not thankful for Him? Or how many times have we carried things to the Lord, He's answered those prayers in an incredible way, and we never go back to say thank you? Every time I think about this, I think about the parable of the 10 lepers that says Jesus healed 10, and basically what He told them was, He said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And on their way to see the priest, that is when the healing took place. Well, out of that 10, there was only one leper that came back to say thank you to Jesus for what He had done. And Jesus said, "You know, where are the other 9? You know, so we have to understand that thanksgiving should be a big part of our prayers. Why does Paul urge us to combine prayer with thanksgiving? Here's the reason why. And you're going to know this. I'm not telling you anything that you do not know today, but often it takes that reminder for us to, you know, to kind of put our finger on it and say, "Yeah, you're right." So why is it that in our scripture text today, Paul is urging us to make that combination of prayer as well as thanksgiving? Well, here's why. Because gratitude shifts our focus from anxiety over to God's faithfulness. Be thankful. I've said this many, many times. I love the old hymn, Count Your Blessings. And most of us, we're probably singing that in our heads right now. You know, count your blessings, name them one by one. How many times when the world just seems to be crushing you in, when you go back and you begin to count your blessings, all of a sudden we start to understand or to realize, particularly in that moment, all of the things that we have to be thankful for. Too many times our anxieties may focus on what we don't have or what we will lose or, you know, various other things, but none of them are positive. But yet what's happening is Paul is telling us, carry your petition to the Lord with thanksgiving, with the gratitude that is going to shift our focus from whatever it is that is causing or creating the anxiety in our life over to the fact that God is faithful and we are acknowledging His faithfulness. When we thank God amidst trials, we acknowledge, you know, His sovereignty. Now, when I say sovereignty, what am I talking about? Knowing that God can do it, you know, whatever He wants to anybody He wants, anytime He wants to, and be justified in doing it. So we acknowledge, you know, when we're thankful, we acknowledge that His sovereignty as well as His goodness to each and every one of us. Now, this attitude of gratitude does not negate our difficulties, but rather what it does is it transforms them. It allows us to see beyond the immediate challenges of the eternal, beyond the immediate challenges to the eternal goodness of God. Now, by coupling prayer with thanksgiving, we are making a declaration that we trust in God's ultimate plan for our lives. You know, it's so many times we sit back and we worry about things, and I love the scripture passages that tell us that by taking thought, can we add one cubit to our stature? And then he goes on and he says, the birds of the field, he said, they don't go out and plant, they don't go, you know, harvest and store up crops so that they can get through the wintertime. And yet the Bible tells us, he says, the Lord takes care of them. How much more will He take care of us, His children? So what is it? What are the things that are causing anxieties in your life? What are the things that are creating worry in your life? And the Word is simply telling us this, that you can carry that to God, you know, take that petition to Him by prayer and with thanksgiving. In other words, we want to declare that we trust God and we trust His ultimate plan for our lives, even when it's not exactly the way we have it planned out. I almost kind of giggle when I say that because I don't think that there's really ever been a time that my plan has been God's plan. My thinking is not like His thinking, but I will tell you this, His plan is always the best. His plan is always the one that's going to be most useful and helpful for your life, particularly as you go forward. So by doing that, by going to Him in prayer, by declaring, hey, Lord, this is what's going on in my life. These are the anxieties. And then you begin to give Him thanks. Lord, you know, even though this is going on, I am so thankful. See, that's also shifting things off of circumstances. And we've spoken for years about that thing called circumstantial faith. The quick definition of that is that how we feel about God ebbs and flows with our ever-changing, day-to-day changing circumstances. So our contentment, our joy, and our happiness never should be placed on our circumstances, but rather should be placed in our never-changing God, realizing He truly does have an ultimate plan for our lives. So we're calling to prayer first. Then we've looked at the nature of that prayer second. Now, the third thing that we want to look at is the result. Notice what the result tells us in Philippians 4:7. It says, the peace of God. Now, Paul promises that the outcome of faithful prayer is peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That is what it is. Does that mean that your problem is just going to disappear? No, what it means is that you are going to have peace through it. I've often heard this and I've often said it. You know, God never promised us that He would make all of our trials and tribulations go away. What He did promise us was that He would be with us through each and every storm, through each and every circumstance, through each and every situation. And the question is, are we trusting Him in the midst of that? So in Philippians 4:7, as Paul says, here's what you need to do when those anxieties happen. Yeah, you need to carry them to the Lord in prayer, and you need to do so with thanksgiving, and then in doing so, it shifts your focus, and in doing so, as you carry these things to Him, it will provide for you the peace of God, which transcends or surpasses all understanding. Now, this peace is not dependent upon those external circumstances, but rather they are rooted in the character of God Himself. It is who God is. This is what the Word tells us. So it's not based on things that change. It's based on the God that never changes and what His character is. See, it acts as a as a sentinel for our our hearts and minds, and it guards us against turmoil that seeks to overwhelm us. Man, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to bring things into our hearts and our lives that are overwhelming. That word is so funny because when you think about it, you've used it before. You have used it within the context, and somebody may come up to you and say, hey, man, you just don't seem like yourself. And you're like, well, I'm just overwhelmed right now. That means there's just so much coming at you that it's difficult for you to be able to process or difficult to handle. So you understand what it's like and what that means to be overwhelmed. So what you were doing is you were seeking to not be overwhelmed. By going to Him with prayer and thanksgiving, you were guarding against that struggle that seeks to overwhelm us in our lives and in what we do. Now, this divine peace doesn't just sustain us, but it should transform us. That means change us. Think about that for a moment. I mean, have you ever been in that situation where it just seemed daunting and you went to the Lord in prayer? And maybe it wasn't even prayer. Maybe it was worship. Maybe you were driving down the road in the car and there was a worship song that came on, and you began to sing that truly from your heart, and you began to apply it to your life. And then all of a sudden, everything changed. It didn't mean that the circumstance or the situation went away, but how you viewed it was completely different. When you are in the presence of Jehovah, it will transform you. See, it aligns our minds with Christ, and it enables us to navigate life storms with grace as well as resilience. Are we doing that? You know, sometimes when I think about that, you know, I think about running around like a crazy man, screaming and flailing my arms, because that's what we do. We get in these situations and we panic. We don't carry it to the Lord in prayer as we should. So maybe if you're in that situation today, here's some good practical wisdom from the Word of God for you and how to make some changes that are going to be beneficial to you along the way. And the Lord says this, it starts with going to Him in prayer. It starts, you know, with thanksgiving. And then what we do is we trust Him for the results, okay? So now that we've looked at those three things, the fourth thing that we need to do is look at what is some practical guidance for us. You know, I've often said, knowing the Word is one thing, applying it is something different. So how can we apply these principles that we learn in Philippians chapter 4 today in our everyday life and in our everyday trials? Well, here's one of the things you can do. You can develop a consistent prayer life. Set aside dedicated time daily for prayer, allowing your relationship with God to deepen, because as you walk with Him and as you talk with Him, that relationship will deepen and you will understand Him even more. You will even understand His ways better than you do right now. So you need to develop that as a consistent prayer time that you have daily, not just running to the Lord when things are bad. You know, sometimes we tend to do that. You know, people put God on the back burner, and then when life comes at you, then all of a sudden you start running to Him. Again, there's not a problem with running to Him. That's what He wants us to do. But boy, it sure would be nice if we did that every day rather than just when we need something or when there are times of trial in our lives. Make it a daily consistent part of your life. Not only that, you will draw closer to the Lord and it will bring you a better understanding. So develop that consistent prayer life. The second thing we could do is we can incorporate Scripture in our prayers. We need to use God's promises as we pray. This not only aligns our request with His will, but it reinforces our faith. You know, it talks about praying Scripture. You know, God gives us promises. I know that with my discipleship group, one of the things that we look for each day when we go through a different chapter is, you know, look for a promise to keep. Look for a promise of God that he's given us that we can keep. Look for things that are teaching moments and how they're going to be applicable to us, because God's word truly is a living word, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So you know what? It's all right to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you told me when I'm anxious to come to you in prayer, so here I am. Yeah, and you also promised me that in your word, you make a promise that if we do this, and if I come to you with prayer and thanksgiving, that you will provide peace for me in the midst of this crisis. And you know what God's going to say? Sure, I keep my promises. So use those scriptures as you pray them. You know, God knows what his word is. He's truly the one that was the author and the finisher of our faith. So use those promises in our prayers, not only to say, hey, Lord, this is what you said, but also to align our request with what his will is going to be, something that's going to bolster our faith. All right, the third thing is that you can journal your prayers. Now, I know not every one of you is a journaler. I am not necessarily a journaler. I will write things down, but I will tell you this. If you're a journaler, then you know exactly what to do. If you're not, then I do want to encourage you to do this. I want to encourage you to document your prayers and then document how God answers them. And what's going to happen is this is going to strengthen your faith over time. You are going to see how God is faithful and how he has shown up. You know, even if you just take your prayer request sheet, I mean, our church has one. Maybe your church does if you don't attend ours. But you can look at that prayer list. You could pray for these people, and you could pray specifically for them. And then when God answers the prayers, go back and say, you know, I was praying for Johnny today, you know, because you know, he's been going through a cancer battle, and today he was deemed cancer-free. You can write those things down, and you can see your request, and you can see where God was faithful. So I want to encourage you to do that. I also call those spiritual flags. You know, when God does incredible things in our lives, often what happens is we can run the spiritual flag up so that when we get in the midst of the storms and the trials and temptations, we can look back over our shoulder and we can see where God has been faithful over time and over the years and through the circumstances and through the situations. So even if you don't journal, document your prayer and then note how God is answering those prayers. All right, fourth, we can engage in community prayer. Join prayer groups. You know, collective prayer brings unity and it magnifies our faith. You know, whether it's in your church group, whether it's small groups that you have going on, whatever it may be, get together with other people. When I say in community prayer, I'm talking about not by yourself. I'm talking about your church is a community. Your small group is a community. And then your community is a community. If they've got a prayer group, spend those times to go down there and invest your time in praying for and with those that not only you know, but even those that you don't know. So those are just four things that we can do to make applicable what we have learned through these particular passages today. So folks, as we navigate the trials of life, let us embrace the power of prayer. Such a powerful thing. I love what I've heard many great preachers say in the past, and they don't say it just because it's cliche. They've often been interviewed by somebody, and the interviewer will say, well, you know what, if there was one thing you could change about your decades of ministry, what would it be? I've never heard a single great, powerful preacher ever say anything other than this: I would have prayed more. I would have, you know, bolstered the power of prayer even more so in my life and in my ministries than I did in the past. So we need to embrace the power of prayer. Now, by presenting our request to him, that's what the words tell us, what we learned today, by presenting our request to him with thanksgiving, we open our hearts to God's peace, a peace that, as the word tells us, transcends understanding and upholds us through every storm. That's what's going to carry you through the storm, okay? So why don't we commit to a lifestyle of prayer, trusting that God hears us and is faithful to our response. So I want to give you a little challenge today. I want to urge each and every one of you to cultivate a deeper relationship with prayer. That's huge. I also heard many preachers say this as well. They've often said prayer is not part of the ministry. Prayer is the ministry. Prayer is not part of the mission. Prayer is the mission. So I want you to cultivate a deeper relationship with prayer. All right? Make it your refuge. Make it your strength in times of trial and in times of need. Allow God's peace to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Does that sound familiar? Well, that's because it's right there in His Word. Okay. I hope and trust and pray that you will put this to the test and that you will put this to the challenge. As we face the trials and tribulations, as we look at the fact that our faith is truly under fire each and every day. So I'm going to be praying for you. Let me tell you about what we're going to be looking at next week, and then I'll close this out in a word of prayer. Or actually, this week, I want you to spend a little bit of time in the Word of God in the book of 1 Corinthians, okay? Book of 1 Corinthians. Next week, we're actually going to look at passages in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's one particular verse I want to hit pretty hard, but this is going to deal with overcoming temptations through faith. Remember, we're talking about faith under fire or standing firm in trials and temptations. So spend that time, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Next week, we're going to address how believers can resist temptation by trusting in God's faithfulness and His provision of a way out. You know, I love the fact that we're not going to be tempted above anything in which God is not going to provide us a way out that we might be able to withstand that temptation. So we're going to look at the strength found in God to overcome and to stand firm when the temptations come our way. So I hope and trust and pray that you will be read up, and I hope and trust and pray that you will join us next week for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. Let me close this out in a word of prayer today. Father, as we come to you today, we do so with hearts open to your peace. Father, I pray that you will teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray with thanksgiving, trusting in your divine provision. Lord, in our trials, let your peace guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. May we draw nearer to you each day through the power of prayer. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, thank you for taking the time today to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. As always, I want to extend to you a personal invitation to join us for worship services. We meet on Sunday mornings, 10:45. That's what time we start our worship service, and we would certainly love to have you. We also have other discipleship opportunities on Sunday as well as throughout the week. We have Sunday school, we have small groups for men and women, we have Awana for the children, and various other ways to be able to serve our Lord through Central Baptist Church. So I hope and trust and pray that if you don't have a church home, you'll visit with us Sunday. Be sure to introduce yourself and say, "Hey, man, I saw you on the Wednesday Bible study. Just wanted to come up and say hello." And we look forward to you worshiping with us in spirit and in truth. God bless. I pray you have a great rest of your week.